Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How are you, boys?
Hi, lads. What's the story? Sorry about...
First of all, let me cut across because nothing. Because let me tell all of you something. Very sorry we had no podcast last week because Cardi Mahady was very unwell, and then she rinsed me about having the runs when I couldn't come in. So she was unwell twice. And then producer Ian got walloped by a bonnet while he was on his bike. So nothing got to do with me because I'm great. But how are you, Cardi?
For the first time in your life, it wasn't you. I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
We're all part of the Not Well Hotel. Yeah, Ian got a smack of a bonnet. I had me little inside out arse, and I also lost my spinal cord. So, yeah.
And come here, do you know I actually pulled me back as well in basketball last week?
Can't have a fucking
No,
thing.
But it gets funnier because I was like, oh, I'm fine. I was up to 90, rolled over my ankle straight away, and I was like, oh, I can't do this. I said, I can't do this again. So I was like, not with it. And everyone was like, you all right? I was like, I just don't really want to play. Maybe I should just go home because I can't go through that again.
Yeah.
Like rolled over my whole ankle.
You got a little frightened.
I only got the ball for 1 second. Yeah. What do you mean?
Aww.
Took me about 9 years to get back into the court, and now I roll over my left ankle. Not even my finger or my wrist, my ankle.
Your
I was
ankle.
Like, cheers. So then I woke up and I was like, oh, can't move me back. So then I was taking painkillers. Charlotte kept saying, yeah, these are the good ones. They're epoxy paracetamol. Paracetamol
to get me.
But anyhow, then the next day I was like, oh, I can't. Or that night I was like, oh, I can't go to sleep. No, I was like, my whole like right side of my body is numb. Me right ball, like not me left, me right ball.
Your right ball?
No, me right ball was like
your scrotum.
Like numb, but like a tingly, but it wasn't a tingly like pins and needles. And then like all the inside of my leg, down to my knee, down to my ankle was like, if I stood on it was like shooting pains. And I was Googling, what the fuck is this? I had to go down to my match right away. I was like, I'm gonna lose a ball. I was like,
don't even
have sex as it is, but I'm gonna lose a ball. No, because let me tell you.
Okay, sorry.
So then I Googled that. I was like, right ball, very numb, leg, very painful.
Very much so.
Very much so. And it was like slip disc or like pulled lower back. And I was like, oh, Carly Mahady can't have none. No, it's still a bit like sore. Maybe I should go get that
Maybe
checked.
You should go to Will because he ironed
what, and
me.
What, to iron out my ball and my leg?
But not so much your ball, but your back. Because I done every single thing, Sean. I was sitting with hot water bottles on my back. I was up to me eyeballs in painkillers.
Right.
Everything I was doing, good morning yoga stretches in the house. I was doing like bendy back yoga stretches and my back wasn't seizing up, but it was like there was a dull pain and it kept on shooting up my back and down my left leg,
up
funny enough.
Back.
Up me back. So the only thing that helped was going into Will. I goes, I don't know where the pain is coming from. Yeah, because it's coming up my back and going down my leg. And he literally, index finger, bang, straight in the fucking centre of it. I said, how can you even see that? He is amazing. So yeah, maybe I should go and say hello.
Maybe I should. I keep saying I'm going to go see him and I never do. Hello everyone. Welcome back. A week late. We have a lovely man on our podcast today, and Carly's going to tell you all about him because if I break it down, it's game over.
This week we are joined by the ever beautiful, ever brown Marcus Kellers. How are you, Marcus?
Hiya guys. 4 years of listening skills in college and it's going to be tested today, I think.
Do you want to tell everybody why you were in college for 4 years?
I was studying to be a psychotherapist and counsellor.
Wow.
Which I am now one.
So come here to me, Marcus. Can you just explain a little bit about yourself for a moment?
Myself, yeah. So I'm from Dublin and I ended up doing hairdressing at Torty. So I was a sales rep for about 10 years.
Right.
Then I went into hairdressing. I done my trade at hairdressing. And I was a hairdresser for 2 years. And then I went into management. So I knew then I like to see people reach their potential.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm more of a getting them to get to the highest that they can get to. So I went to management, great 15 years. And then I just said, you know what? I want something different. You know,
it was actually
my own journey in therapy that led me to where I am. And I decided to study it because my own therapist said, did you ever think of doing it as a vocation? And I said, you know what? I don't really think about it. And then I get into the car, and I'm a believer of all this stuff happens for a reason. I listened to the radio, and there was an ad for the college. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go for it. So you had to do a certificate. They asked you to do a year certificate, but which I didn't do.
Yeah.
And I'm one of these, if I can't have it now, I don't want it.
Yeah.
So I went for the interview. Sat in, three lecturers were there, and lucky enough, I got accepted onto the course.
And I'd say an awful lot of it was got to do with your time in the hairdressing industry as well, because people always say it's like going to a therapy session.
Yeah, no, I found that as well. I found that when I was working behind a chair, it's a safe space. People just want it. But like, we couldn't hear them half the time with the hairdryers.
And they're you're going, like, yes,
just
Susan.
Nodding, just nodding and going, yeah, yeah, agree. And they're saying, I'm not saying my dog died.
But, no. Oh, God, and yeah, they wanted
same,
a bit of comfort.
No, I couldn't hear that, man. Deaf in one ear. Imagine me with the blow dryer going, meh, meh, meh. Yeah, yeah, brilliant. Lovely. What are you saying to me, missus?
Well, I can imagine dealing and being over so many staff members and them having different things going on in their lives, and obviously things having to go through you, you would have dealing with an awful lot of people's circumstances.
Absolutely. Management is all about people. You're being a people manager, because you have to see you're dealing with 15, 20 different people, different personalities. So you can't manage them all the same. And I never did.
Of course.
You'd have to have a look at someone's life and someone's upbringing and someone's situation and circumstances, and you know, it determined how you push them or not push them.
Yeah,
they might need a little coffee and say, listen, you know, what do you need? Because that's basically sometimes what they need to be asked. What do you need? Mm-hmm. If you don't, if you're telling them this is the way it is, you end up losing them, you know.
Yeah,
it was a really enjoyable time, but I just felt towards the end at my training that I just needed to dedicate as much as I could time into what I was now studying, hoping to go forward to do.
Did you take up what you were doing whilst you were still managing in the hairdressing industry?
Yeah. So I went to the owner and I had a chat with him, and he said, look, you can work around it. And it was a 1 day college, so I used that on my day off. And then COVID hit.
Right.
So when COVID hit, it was the best time for me, because I had time to really get into it. I had really time just reading books, written, doing research and that. So it really helped. And then when I went back, I think it was for third year, trying to juggle study, college placement, work, social life, everything.
Yeah.
That got on top of me a little bit. So something had to give. So I said for my final year then, you know, I just wanted to do something different and give it me all, so to speak, because I got that far.
Yeah, you're right.
It was a big choice, a big chance that I took, but I was determined that I wasn't going to fall at the final hurdle. And so finally came over the finish line and qualified.
That's absolutely unreal. So when everybody was kind of integrating back into the real world and going back to their jobs, you took the hurdle and actually left yours.
Yeah, I done the opposite.
That's crazy. Were you nervous doing that? Like, was that a big, huge thing for you to do, especially after 15 years? Like,
yeah, and personally, I just thought it was time.
Right.
It was just time for me. And I just said, you know what, it's time to really just take a chance, take a leap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic because I'm in a placement through my college. So I'm dealing with people on the offset of COVID. And, you know, to see how people suffered. You know, I was listening to the lads from the running club, you know, they used COVID to their advantage.
Yeah.
And there are so many success stories for that, which I love. But then there's a lot of people that didn't. You know, even dealing with people that are 17, 18, 19 now, that would have been 15, 16, 17, their heads were fried.
Yeah.
Why? They didn't have a clue.
No.
They're just being put in a halt. Like, you're supposed to be a child and then you come out and now you're like a little mini adult. Like, what the fuck do you mean? Make that make sense.
Yeah.
I feel like I done that as well with COVID. Like, that's when I blew up on Instagram. And like, my brother-in-law was like, he was kind of the only one. He's like, see how many people are making happy? And I was like, this is just coming to me naturally. Do you get me? And I was like, oh my God, I actually do. And now that I absolutely love and people come up to me, I'm like, you are welcome.
Yeah, people needed it now. They needed something.
Yeah.
And be it, you know, the running, sea swims, hiking, you know, gardening, whatever it may be. People needed to find it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, social media is a huge thing and used to are a huge hit that people love.
Oh, tell me more. Tell me more, baby. I'm
going to leave that till the end.
Okay.
No, social media for me during COVID, obviously, because I wasn't physically allowed to see anybody. Whatever about anybody that went off on the snake, because listen, that happened. And whatever about anybody that went out in the community. So, Jodway and everybody was doing the sea swims and the yoga and stuff. And the whole 5K thing was a big drama. Genuinely physically wasn't allowed to see nobody. Like, my friends were driving up to outside my house and waving at me. Do you know what I mean? And
no, like, what the fuck when you think back on it?
And I was going such a hard time. And the only thing that you want to do is see our friends and hug and kiss them and have that around you. And I wasn't able to. And like, that social media was my outlet. Like, them lives.
I was just about to say, like, we wouldn't even talk that much, but like, we were on lives till like 4 or 5 in the morning. And we'd have
during COVID, we spoke. Every single minute of every day.
That's what brought us together as well.
Yeah, 100%.
But that definitely helped the both of us.
That was what got me through. The nurses writing back to us, they were like, oh, we're on a night shift, we're all in watching this and all the whole lot. And then I'd go in, say, for a chemo, and they were like, we had you on in here the other night while you were on the
team. There's a knock-on effect with everything. I think, you know, the choices that you make, and you probably just said, oh, I'm just catching up with me.
No, literally just riffing each other. And then there was over 10,000 people watching us at times.
But what, it's crazy to see, like you said, people either thrived and took that time to build on themselves and go inward and really probably address things that would have been affecting their life outside, or else people really sank and either ended up, again, there was an awful lot of people that took up like drinking. And so it just goes to show you either had the people that really rose up or else people that really fell under. And it was so sad to see that. And you're obviously dealing with...
I didn't see much outcry for mental health during COVID. You know, there wasn't that much said. That there was people struggling at home.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of therapists went on to the Zoom when COVID hit, and they're still on Zoom now. They love it. But I just feel that the beauty happens in the room.
100%.
When you're with someone there, straight in front of them. Now, Zoom is great. And if you want to go, you know, take it worldwide or whatever, or go traveling, or just even just stay at home and be up in the mountains and not have to worry about anyone, great. But that's, for me, I think, being in person. I was lucky enough, we had the screens. So, you know, that was lucky for me that I continued straight through. And that was my, I can't wait for this.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get there and see my couple of clients, you know.
I just feel like the internet has after taken over with everything, and it's really taken the social aspect out of everything.
Just taking the fun out of everything, because everything is so fake now.
Yeah.
Everything.
But, like, I mean, human connection.
Literally.
Therapy is about feeling safe and being in a safe space. I feel like if your demons are at you in your house and you're locked in your house all the time and they're in the four walls and then you're just turning on a Zoom and you're still sitting in the same environment, that you probably don't feel that great in. Whereas when you're going to therapy, your brain knows you're there. It's like when you sit in your bedroom all day, your brain stops associating your bedroom as your sleeping place.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And you don't be able to sleep as well because you're there constantly.
Because you're there constantly.
Your brain kind of separates environments.
Well, social media, and that's what I was talking to Sean about, and when he put that post up last week, like, people just see him on the screen. Funny Sean, he's in his bedroom, he's got a snood on, and he's yapping away, and people just see that. They don't see him sitting there going, I can't move because of my ankle. And it was it really hit me that post. So I appreciate being asked to come on and talk about it, because at the end of the day, everyone has feelings and emotions, and sometimes they just don't see that.
Thank you. Everyone listening, that gave me debt, first of all. Back at you, bitches. Literally assume this and that.
What
and they're
did
like,
you get?
They're literally like to me, yeah, but like if real people put this up, well, then you'd know how he feels and all. They were like, he's a nobody. Get a real job. All this shit. Ask me, pipe. I am a real person with real fucking feelings. People aren't going to speak up because people like you. First of all, I don't know you. Second of all, you're just assuming. Third of all, everyone, all the keyboard warriors are just zooming in on this. So it just makes it worse. The first time I've ever spoke up in my whole time on fucking social media. And you make me feel like that. Ask me, fuck. I said, I'm not going to let it rise above me. I don't know you.
Yeah, see.
I'm not going to let you into my space. I done what I had to do to let everyone know this is where I've been at.
Yeah.
Because you all thought like, oh, it's an ankle. It's funny. It's this and that. No, it's not. This is how I was feeling.
I'm going to say something, and I hope it doesn't come across wrong, and I hope I get me words
it's
right
you.
In saying
You're
it.
You're fine. Come on.
Right. So what I think you got the backlash for, and when I read it, this is what I thought, right? So because you find it so hard to open up, I feel like you needed to use something to justify your feelings.
110%.
But you know what you did there...
I can't even write a
full
sentence.
But what you did there was you used your ankle.
Yeah.
Whereas the problems that you had... we're not just space around our ankle. And people read that post and they were like, oh, he's giving out about his ankle. You needed something to base that post on, whereas you are struggling with more than your ankle, Sean. You had so much going on in your life. You did, though.
Do you want to swap seats?
What?
Do you want to swap seats?
No, she's great.
I know, she's great.
No, but don't get me wrong. I know your ankle was actually a huge...
Yeah, but I don't think I was struggling before that. No.
No, no.
Like, not as much as that.
A lot
that, like,
more went on during that time as regards you had family stuff going on.
Yeah.
You were starting to discover things about yourself. Like you said, it was initially your ankle that kept you in, but there was so much more than your ankle. And I feel like when people initially read that post, they just seen the ankle thing. They never took into consideration what was going on.
That happened to me.
Yeah.
And because I was sitting there for so long, I physically was bringing up everything that I was like, because what else can I think about?
There's a difference between sympathy and empathy. And I only learned empathy, really, the word in college. And then I realised that I was shown all my life. But you put yourself in someone else's shoes. So it doesn't matter. When someone sees that post, they might go, oh, it's a broken ankle. I broke my ankle before. So what?
Yeah.
So what? But to put yourself in Sean's shoes when he was getting so excited, going to those doctors to see, yes, you've got the all clear, or yes, you're healing nicely, to get told no. basketball was a huge part of his life, the social aspect, but also he was quite good at it from what we've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
So to stop that, it's another thing that people don't look at. They just say it's an ankle.
Yeah.
You're not just a performing monkey. You're there to entertain people, yes, but there is stuff behind that.
Yeah, this is why it's so important to have these conversations, and particularly this is why I wanted you to come in, especially because with men, again, it's very rare that they are encouraged to open up about how they feel. Like you said, you opened up about how you felt and people just attacked you.
Well, like, just a few of them.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was more happy and love for me. And I was like, I wasn't even expecting it. I was like, I can't come on and say this because I'll just break down.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is how I feel. Let me write it out. Took me about 4 hours. And I don't even know if the full stops are supposed to be where they are. But look, they're there now, all right? This is what I mean. But that's how I felt. And I had to put it out there.
But you're using your platform to raise awareness. That's my favourite word in therapy, is awareness.
Yeah.
My favourite word I've ever learned, because once you become aware of something, once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fear that a lot of people have when they go to therapy or when they want to come to therapy, because I'm not opening up that kind of worms.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. It's an amazing thing. And I think that that was like that with you, Sean. We were saying when he first discovered that he was really kind of feeling. Now, remember, we had that phone call and we were on the phone for about 2 hours.
Yeah, no, like, you are literally, because you've been through therapy all your life, and so is another friend of mine and another friend of mine, it's like you've opened a can of worms for me. So when I do eventually go to therapy, which I haven't yet, you might have a first patient. Going to call me patient, but it's like, I know where to start now. Whereas if I was to go in, I'd be like, I know where to start, I know where to bullet point, and then I'd be like, you fix me, help me get better. But he was already doing it, so it's great. So I'm like, he was on my shoulders crying, but I still know I need to do that step for myself.
Oh, of course. You know what I mean? But when we were even suggesting that you go to therapy, like, there's only so far we can take you. We're not qualified. And I said that
to you. No, I know, but thank God that you have the right answers, and it's not like I leave and I'm like, no, let me tell you something. It's like, oh, they're absolutely 100% right. Yeah. Thank God I have friends that are so intellectually skilled up there from going through what they went through to help me along the lines. Because if it was someone that didn't have a clue, I'd be like, you're making my brain go 100 miles an hour here. Whereas I go home and I'm like, yeah, they're right. And I'm like, I just have to deal with this now myself, or else I'll go and get it.
But
you know what I mean?
You even said on the phone that day, like, we were on the phone for 2 hours. I'll never forget that phone call, because it was the very first time that you were very honest with me. Yeah, you were very honest with me that day. I kind of had to just give you that little extra push, and then it just, you couldn't hold back the river. It just gushed, and I was like, oh my God, please just tell me everything. I just sat and the tears were rolling down my face, because it was the first time you ever really opened up to me. But you admitted yourself on the phone to me. You said, I don't think I'm ready to go and open up where this is coming from, because if this is me only at the gate, imagine when it opens. Yeah. And you said that on the phone. Because I don't know if I'm ready to face that. And I think
where
that's,
where it starts.
Yeah.
I don't know where to start a sentence.
But like, this is why you go.
I need
because
to help me always.
But that is what a therapist will do. Look at him, he's like, I know.
I know.
You deflect it and you're pushing it away. Yeah. But like, look, thanks for sharing that, because again, people will see you as them two are mad together. I'd say they have great crack 24/7. They're not seeing the 2 hour conversation on the phone. They're not seeing the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And that's when it's real.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a case of fixing, and it's a case of I'm ready to just go step by step. And the way I look at it, I meet the person where they're at.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting them to go, you know, and sometimes it could be 50 sessions and sometimes it could be 10 sessions. And then some come back to me after about 20 sessions and we do 4 or 5 and they go off, and that's all they need. They just need a little reminder. But all the answers are inside you.
Mm-hmm. You always.
Know, always inside you. Your friends will just sort of say stuff to make you think and go, yeah, you know, I would have done
that. You know,
anyway.
You're dead right.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that? Mm-hmm. But you need to go to your safety net for them to help you out a bit more.
You're so outwardly aware of what you have to do.
Always.
Because you see me sitting here and he's going, you have to do this and you have to do that. And then you're like, right, Sean, when are you going to do it? And he's like, oh, can we stop talking about this?
Mm-hmm. No, 110%. But I know I have to do it. I'm just trying to find the right person. Sell it to me, Marcus. Sell it to me.
No, it's like, look, I always say therapy is like a blind date or like a forced relationship. You get to know the person and you know after one or two sessions. The therapist knows and the client knows. Yeah. You know, and if I can't help someone, my ego isn't strong enough to go, I can fix everybody, I can help everybody. I'm not about that. I learned that in my training. So you have to make a call, because, you know, I know what it's like of thinking about going to therapy. The nerves, I'm not going. And the story was, I got recommended my therapist and I rang her up to make an appointment. And I was looking at my phone for about 2 weeks and I rang her up and she was actually away on holidays. And I just said, okay, no problem, hung up. Because I'd made my mind, I want to go next Tuesday, I want to go, and she's away.
You said that earlier on, that you want things done yesterday,
Yeah, and I said, no, I'll push to the side. And then the following week, a client came in with the exact same name as the therapist. And again, I just saw that. It's like, that's too
synchronous.
Yeah. So I rang her up and we clicked.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen. You know, sometimes you do find someone that just doesn't gel and that's okay. But it's, you have to keep going. Sometimes people sit and don't say anything and that's okay too.
No, I would. It'd be worse than that sometimes. I think you've grown out of it, but you used to be like that as well years ago. Like as in, just always just trying to make it funny so you wouldn't have to deal with it. That's now I'm like, have you to like, or Alison or Charlotte, do you get me?
Yeah.
Or me ma, like them things. I'm like, all right, they know. They're like, right, shut up and just let me speak. Oh, let me help you. Like, do you know what I mean? Things like that. So I'm so happy that I finally fucking drilled into my head now.
I feel like there's certain times when me and you are having a conversation.
Like that one on the phone.
Yeah.
You were like, I was not expecting that at all because you were like, I didn't know what Sean I was going to get. Was I going to get funny Sean or were you actually going to sit there and be like, let me open up to you? And you got that one. So there you go. Yeah.
I was terrified though. So we were on the phone that day, right?
And stop saying you were terrified. My mom's going to fucking send me a white coat.
No, I was not that I was terrified about you. I was terrified to bring it to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we were on the phone and he was laughing and giggling and laughing and giggling. And I just looked at his eyes and I was like, oh no. And he got more hyper, more hyper, more hyper. And then my brain went, oh, he's fucking manic. And I went, Sean, stop for a second. And he was like, what, girl? What's wrong with you? And I was like, no. Just relax for 1 minute.
I just need to say something to
you. And he was like, what? Will you stop and all? And I was like, Sean, what's going on? And he was like, nothing's going on. I said, Sean, really, what's going on? And boom. It's something that I noticed in you because I used to do it.
What is it, Marcus? Like, what would that be?
It's like tiptoeing into the water and then you just suddenly just, right, where did that come from? So I initially went to therapy over grief. My dad passed away and it was a year or so later. I got something done to the house and it was as simple as that. My life was great. Not great, obviously he passed away, but I was in a relationship. I was good at my job. I was enjoying everything. And I decided to get my house done up.
Yeah.
And because my dad, I lived there, because I changed the house, and it used to be a running joke with him, I'd say, we should not get this done. When I'm gone, you can do what you want. Oh, you know, that was the thing. Yeah. And when I finally done it, I was sitting there going, holy fuck.
Like,
will he like it? Does he like the paint scheme? Will he like this? He wouldn't like this. Does he feel his chair's comfortable? All these questions were going through my head. So it was grief that brought me to therapy. And after two sessions, I was like, why is this stuff coming up when I'm 16?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Mm-hmm. And it just made sense because I was from the area of saying, it is the way it is. That's just me. That's just who I am. And just I joke and I laugh and I make everything funny and I'm just this and I can't be in relationships. That was me.
Yeah.
I needed to know the answers. After three or four, I was like, right. And I used to like either be in great form on a Tuesday or in the depths.
Yeah.
But I would always reflect and I always look in and investigate and try and piece things together and journal. And I'd be like, right, yeah, oh, that makes so much sense now. Once you see it,
to help you understand it a bit better.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. So I was like, that's why and this why and could this be why? And it just made things so much more easier to deal with stuff then. You know, and your mindset changes that for that split second, you can sort of make those decisions that will work for you instead of work against you. And I used to have the victim mentality. Oh, my life.
Very
And we had this conversation
based.
Yesterday about the AirPod and I just had to switch that and go, well, I was going to buy more expensive AirPods. So at least it wasn't them going into the Livy.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry,
I always try and give thanks. I always try and give a bit of gratitude. You know, when you get ghosted and you're left on the scene, you go, well, at least her eyesight isn't gone.
Oh, there you go.
But you're kind of going, right, well, it's early doors. At least I know you're not that interested. Happy days.
Yeah. You can only control the controllables. And that's in everything in life. You know, if you can't control what another person is doing or saying, you can only control your reaction. And if you learn how to control your actions in the best way, you know, you feel a lot better with yourself. Trying to control what other people are thinking or going to do or hoping that they're going to do, you can't.
Yeah.
You run away with yourself, you know.
I think when you come to the point in the road where you understand that life is solely and only about mastering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You are a soul having a human experience.
No one else is too.
That's all you're here for. Like, that's again, true. You can't control what other people do. The only singular soul thing you have control over is you. And when you wake up and realise that and understand that everybody else has gone through their problems and an awful lot of people's like way of treating you is projection of their own insecurities and their own sadness.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is when you're like, oh right, okay. Well, that's not on me. That's on you. And I'm sorry for you, but I'm not going to let that determine my feelings for the day or determine how I feel about myself. I'm not going to let your shit be me, because mm-hmm. it's nothing got to do with me.
Yeah, and that's explained lovely, because even when you were younger and you were getting bullied, your mom or dad always say, oh, it's their stuff, that you know, yeah. and you're like, no, it's not their
give
stuff.
Give over you. They're only jealous. Yeah, and they see you happy and they want to be like you, and you're like, oh, go away.
But when you break it down the way you did, you say, well, generally, what's going on in their life? Mm-hmm. You know, if someone's cranky behind Starbucks and you're like, geez, she's very rude. You don't know what she's gone through.
Carly, when she doesn't get her right order, the little devil.
Nah. But it doesn't help. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't help. But for that split second, if you can just put yourself in their shoes and go, on, their manager's obviously after eating them, mm-hmm. and or she's late for a shift, or she's running over and she has to pick up her kids. You don't know. And it is hard sometimes to
we're aware of it.
Of course.
I'd still do be like, see, but then I kind of step away from it. And see, I feel worse when I give me senses. See, if I'm in a situation like that and someone's pig ignorant to me or rude, and I'm like, do you know what, you? And then I'll walk away and go, oh, Carly, no. Yeah. Like, I do feel shit down for the rest of the day.
Yeah, but your little...
Like the bollocks on the bike.
Short.
Like Ian, if someone's weird, you're like, no,
let me
bike.
Tell you something.
Yeah.
Oh, Ian, he's calling you out. Poor Ian's hip
but
is broken.
That's obviously something that he was going, he could be late for work or whatever, and this fella on the bike comes along, he goes, he's just hit it. I know they always use the...
He's a prick. Yeah.
And if you didn't hear that, Ian said he's a prick.
And that's his ma who hit you.
But no, but sometimes, do you know what? Sometimes people in life are just pricks. Not to get it twisted. I know some people, everything is circumstantial. People have shit situations and whatever. But I do believe like that, and I've said this in podcasts mm-hmm. before, as a grown adult, it is your responsibility how you put yourself out into the world. Just because you are having a hard time, don't get me wrong, we can all slip and we can, again, project onto other people. But ultimately, it is your responsibility.
Like, you're an adult. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. Absolutely. You are an adult. You've been on this planet for long enough. So fucking respect everyone.
You know someone's after making you feel that way. Why the fuck would you want to make somebody else feel that way? Now, here again, I'm saying this because I'm so aware. I go out into the world when I'm in the screamer sometime and I'm an arsehole for no reason. We're humans. It's what we do.
Yeah, but you go and you analyse that, then you look at it and go, right, next time, I can't change today, but tomorrow I'm going to be better.
Come here, I have a question for you. Marcus, not Carly, because she's taking the boxy rounds of this. So let me tell you something. So I wrote it down because I'm very bad at trying to get this out.
Do you know where the full stops are?
No, I didn't put... I actually did put one down. What rewarding feelings do you get from being a therapist? Because sometimes it can be risky being a therapist for people's lives, basically, because you're dealing with someone else's problems, like
yeah, well, I just bring it back to me. So, you know, aha moments, he used to call it. So when you'd have a therapy session, I'd always go and reflect. I'd never really sort of, it'd take me a couple of days, but when you're sitting in the car, you're going, aha, yeah, that's why. And it just, like, how I describe it is I just saw fog. I just saw clouds and fog, mm-hmm. clouds and fog, clouds and fog. I heard people talking, it was muffled. I was like, yeah, I'm not really listening, I'm not really hearing anything. But when you start seeing a bit clearer, when you start seeing that fog lifting, you're sort of, you can see the sunlight, you can see, it's light just an amazing feeling. It's just, it's hard to explain, but I just said, if I could even do that once for someone,
yeah,
if I could hand that feeling to someone, and, you know, sometimes getting out of bed for someone is that feeling. And I try that when we're having a conversation, no matter how deep it goes, like, we have to be aware of the clock. Mm-hmm. This is what it is, you know, it's a written contract. It's 50 minutes a week. Yeah. I won't see them from one end of the week. And I need to do that. I need to protect myself. And I'm all for people wanting to help. I'm all for people saying, if anyone needs me, just text me. But I worry about their self-care.
Yeah.
Like, I really do, because at the end of the day, they have a life too. And if they're getting phone calls at 10 o'clock at night, if they're out doing something and they're getting a phone call from someone that they need to help, it just adds to their pressure. So for me, I look at the clock and I'm sort of saying to myself, right, I've got about 15 minutes left. We'll try and ease it up, but we'll park it, or maybe I always say we'll shelf that. Let's talk about something else and try and leave every session on a high-ish. Because you want to give people food for thought. They want to go off and do the work, because that's what it is. It's doing the work. You can't become best friends, but that's your safe space.
Yeah.
And you know that person will not judge you and will just take you on a journey together, step by step.
Yeah.
And it's confidential. It's like, it's just, and sometimes they just offload because it's a stranger. And that's the beauty of the room. And when you start seeing their reactions and behaviours changing because they're more aware, mm-hmm. you're like, yes, we're getting somewhere. And their life becomes better. But sadly, you know, luckily I've been, had some lovely clients and great clients, but there are people out there that won't even take that step. They just make that decision. And it's becoming too common.
Yeah.
It's becoming too common, which, you know, I'm hoping in the next 5 or 6 years it'll change, because something I'm passionate about is trying to get into schools.
Yeah.
I think it's an area that I don't know, it has to be on the curriculum. I've done talks for sports clubs, and I want to go down the sporting background because I came from sports, and I got the all I'm not good enough mindset because of something that happened to me in sports. So helping this rugby team, and the response I got from it was fantastic. But at the end of the day, I was a fella coming down to do a 2-hour talk. Going into a school, you're just this bloke. You know yourself in school. Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, that's for an hour and a half. If it's on the curriculum, if you're teaching people about attachment, if you're teaching people about addiction, giving them just a little bit, they get to understand things a little bit more, that when they break up with their first girlfriend, they'll have a little bit of understanding.
Or boyfriend. Seeing as there are LGBTQ plus flags flying around the room. Anywho, continue on, Marcus.
So at least they know it's not the end of the world. It's not this, I can't go on without them. Yeah, and I think mindfulness and well-being and stuff like that, I didn't use me leaving cert.
Yeah.
So if I'm talking to people, I'm like, just don't panic. I've gone through the leaving cert stress and then getting the job and then leaving that job and starting a new career and then leaving that and going back to college. And I'm the happiest I've ever been X amount of years later. It doesn't determine what you get in that exam. But parents don't want you telling your kids that.
No.
Teachers don't want you telling your kids that. But they have to understand when they're in my room, I'm like, all you can do is your best.
Yeah.
That's what my ma says. I'm like, but all you can do is your best. And there's always ways, like there's PLCs now, it's college, you know, there's everything. so much there, different avenues. Yeah. And some people just need to, you know, spread their wings and fly and go travel for a couple of years and then come back and say, right, this is what I want to do. It's about finding your purpose, your beliefs and your values. But that thing that lights the fire in your belly, sometimes it takes 30 odd years to find them.
Yeah.
And I think if you can plant that seed in someone and just go, yeah, I liked what he said about that or she said about this, and they go off and they do their research and they go off and think. And that's, to me, is every journey I've been on, I've tried to do that.
Yeah.
And there's so much more I want to do. But that's why it's important for me, as I said, to have me out with my self-care routine. And you know, I'd only ever see 3 or 4 clients in a day. I'd break it up, so I'd have to have my gym, I'd have to see swimming, I'd have to see my friends, I'd have to go for walks, to try and run, whatever it may be. It just, you need that out. You need, and that's not just in my profession, it's every profession. I think it's so important to be able to say, do you know what, this is me time. And therapy is self-care sometimes.
Yeah,
I would see that as, this is me for 15 minutes and I'm worrying about me.
Yeah.
And people see that as selfish. People that say, oh, but I can't. And I go, no, you can.
I think people believe that self-care is a face mask and a massage, and that's not what it is. Like, realistically,
look,
it's
at me, I'm like, oh.
Well, of course it is, in a sense, but people never think about the mental self-care. It's always the physical. It's always, oh, well, I want to get my nails and my eyelashes done. That's self-care. No, like, go out on a walk in nature on your own. Like, go for a sea swim. Go and go to therapy. Like,
come before a sea swim, by the way, the other day. I just thought I'd let you know.
Let me just
I wasn't actually going to use the word, never mind.
Right, so you always, first of all, laugh at me when I ask you to go.
Sorry, first of all, don't start sitting there pointing your fingers at
Anne. Second of all, always tell me, yeah, you can keep that.
Yeah, when it's fucking 25 degrees out, I'll go. Not when it's -4, you nut job.
I have asked you while it was
a
hot.
A nut job. You're like Olaf in the
first
water.
Don't scream at
ice blocks. No.
I have asked you while it was warm and you've still not. I'm happy you went anyway on your first. I'm happy.
Would you like to go?
I would like to
go. One of the days.
So actually, what I wanted to say to Marcus was, you came to find a community down at shelters. Mm-hmm. How did that come about, can I ask?
Again, I think I'd left my job in the December, and I was actually before that, I just decided to go down in the freezing of cold and went down with a friend of mine. I met John Boland, and
that was the end of it.
That was the end of it. And the thing about it is, now you sort of put off seeing, doing things. I'm not going there. Now you're like seeing your friends. Now you're going to see friends. And in the summer, it definitely is. I'm just going down to have a catch up because the water, it's grand. It's when you're going in December, October, no, January, February, thank March. You. But when you're going there,
no, that's when it's the that's when times.
You're going to see your friends. But it's the 6 minutes that you're battling with yourself.
Yeah.
No matter how many times you go, you're still those walking down. You're going, this is going to be freezing. This, but your 6 minutes to say, I'm going to get in here and I'm doing this for me. And you focus on whatever, because you're too cold to have the chats and the laugh. Yeah. And then you come out and then it's the community that warms you up. You know, I was there last night. I was at a book launch last night. My friend Kim wrote a book.
Congratulations, Kim, by the way. Brilliant.
I don't know who you are, Kim, but congratulations.
She's a shelter crew.
Yeah, she's a lovely, lovely girl.
But the amount that turned up from the shelters, Like they had sandwiches, they had wine, they had cheese
boards. Oh, and they come, yeah. They come fully bearing the gifts. All the time.
Coming to support. And it's a fabulous book. It's about navigating your life through adolescence. She's a child and adolescence therapist. And she wrote this book in 7 weeks.
That's amazing.
7 weeks. Again, she got let go from her job. And she just said, right, I can either wallow in self-pity or I can get up tomorrow at 9 o'clock and let on I'm going to work. And she got up at 9 o'clock, went to the library and she wrote that book.
That
clocked off for a lunch, clocked off or whatever, as she would have done, and came home and said, right, that's my day's work done.
Fair play, sir.
Yeah, amazing.
Like, what?
I know.
It took me a whole year to write that fucking paragraph. You winding me up, she's writing a book. Ah, not at all.
But the crowd that came was just, and I just sat back and I was like, I'm so lucky to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And it's just about finding your tribe, finding who lights that spark. Do you know what I mean? And it takes a while. Some people tend to, you know, they have one breakup and they're doing yoga at 10 and they've got aerobics at 11 and they've the gym at 12 and then they've got sea swimming at 1 and then they try and do everything.
Yeah.
And they come in off the day and go, that was tough.
Yeah.
Mental.
And they're not really,
from different groups.
They're
different
not
groups.
Really embracing it, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's about tipping your toe in the water and just saying, you know what, I'm going to try this meditation. I'm going to try this women's circle or man's circle or whatever it may be and see how I feel after it.
Yeah.
It's all about what's beneficial for you.
Yeah.
Not just because it looks good on Instagram.
Yeah.
And when you popped down there, did you ever imagine that you would become a pillar of that community? That was a bit of an accident,
No, I think, listen, the one thing about I've learned, there's no judgment in my training.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like walking into a therapy room down there because you don't care if people were in recovery. You do care, obviously, but you don't form your opinion if they've been out in prison, if they've come from abusive, whatever it may be. Everyone has a story.
Yeah.
And they're coming along and they just want to have a coffee, a bit of crack, get in the water, and that's it. And for me, watching people do that 10, 20 minutes when they're probably going home to a bed sit or they're going home to whatever, that was their little haven of happiness.
It's like basketball for me. But like, you was obviously loved when you was a sea swim, nut jobs, but like me training, like, do you know what I mean? I'm like, I love this sport. And like, we're a community, we only celebrated 40 years together at the awards. And I was like, obviously I'm not 40, but you know what I mean? Like, when I was going through the depths of it, I was like, oh, I'm okay to go over there now as I can get to sit and watch like X amount of training sessions or games or just shoot a hoop. I was like, made me so much more happier, you know? I was like, if I didn't have that, I don't know where I'd be. Like, I don't mean like that. I just mean like mentally, I was like, I physically got to go back to the sport that I'm doing 14 years.
Yeah.
And I get to shoot again. Or I'd do something that was with it. So I was like, oh my God, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having X amount of games every weekend for taking me out of that fucking shit bed. I just got to sit there and be so happy.
But even you turning up with a supporter and would have egged the girls on as well.
And oh, 110%. I'd still give them death after every match and tell them all about themselves. But you know what I mean? But like, it's just, that's
it took you
family.
Out of that bedroom. It took you out of the hole you were in. But even though you were there, they're going to go, oh, it's great to see him.
Oh no, they love it. Mm. And I'm always like, this is what you can do for the next match, trying to help them on, because I actually am all right at the sport. Like, I'm not going to say I'm shit. Had a scholarship anyhow, but, you know, it's just great to have. Like, I was there from, what, 12? I'm 28 now. So everyone growing up, even for the awards, I was like, I actually don't even think I've drank with yous.
Yeah.
I was like, got to have a drink. We just went wild. We had a ball. And I was like, yous are like my man and dad. Like, so many of them. Do you know what I mean? I was like, it's just great. We're one big happy community. So I'm with you on that story, is what I'm saying.
But isn't it lovely now and that if Instagram shut down tomorrow, you can walk over to that basketball club and you'll still be loved.
Like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to an open session tonight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm buzzing for her now.
Yeah.
Buzzing.
And you could go to the shelters and know they're going to be loved by so many people. Like, you are very blessed to have that, where there's an awful lot of people that wouldn't.
Of course.
I just think that's really
special.
That's
a stepping stone.
It's that first, exactly. It's that first step that they have to make. And I think I like, there are a lot more groups coming up now where they do encourage people to come on their own.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely,
because
though, isn't it?
When your values change or your beliefs change, that your friends that you've hung around with for all your life, and you're listening to their conversations and you're not into this and you're not into bitchiness and you're not into
this. This is something I've actually wanted to talk about for a while. Please continue, because this is a huge thing for an awful lot of people around me at the moment.
Yeah, so you're sitting there going, this doesn't sit with me. Doesn't sit right. But what am I going to do? These are all the people I know. I have to leave. I have to do, you know, and where can I go? I'm going to be on my own, because that's the first thing they think.
Yeah.
I might as well just pal around with them. I might as well just go on the lash each weekend. But they don't like it. So, you know, Meg Wren does a lot of hikes and women's circles and meetups and that they encourage people to just go at different age groups.
Yeah.
You know, there's meditation, there's yoga on the, you know, on the beaches and that they encourage people just to say, you know what, just go.
Give it a bash.
Just go once, and who knows, you might be sitting beside someone that's in the exact same position, and that could be your person.
Yeah.
because when you have a conversation with that person, it makes you happy.
Yeah.
But it's just taking, listen, it's about taking that first risk, and it's awful. It's like understanding about your parents and saying, you know, I have to have this conversation with me. I have to have a conversation with my dad. I have to have this conversation with my partner. But I can't because that's all I know.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
So scary. But like, to take the first step out of it, like, again, at any age of your life, you still are meeting new people along the way.
Yeah.
So if I was to go to the beach and meet one of you, I'd be like, oh my God, an hour sitting there giggling with them, having a little stretch, little cup of coffee or tea after it. I physically feel like I know you my whole life. You won't know that until you take that step. And there is many more friends to be made out there.
There's so many people.
And that's the spark in life.
Yeah.
That's the positive that we can take from life, even though it's a fucking shit place sometimes.
Like, we were in Cafe Insane until 11 o'clock last night, and I'm ready for my bed. I'm tired. I'm
still, yeah. That's old age, Marcus.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, but they were all there, and they said, right, we're going to swim in the morning. I said, you know what, I might do. And they said, right, we're going to do sunrise. And I went, oh, sunrise, sunrise. checking the weather app and going, 5 past 5? Nah.
I was actually up for sunrise this morning. It was beautiful.
No, you were but still on the beach, stomping around with that blue. What was that?
No, I love that. Now, I wanted to talk about that as
what
well.
What was that liquid?
Sorry.
Shanice put it out there. You know, I said, what is she doing? Where is she? Pisser, Pat, and Moana. What was that stuff?
Sandy Mount Beach. So it's bioluminescence. So what
say one more time for everyone in the back.
Bioluminescence. So there's, to put it in simpler terms, for myself and not anybody else, there's zooplankton. Don't like how SpongeBob? Yeah. So they're like little microorganisms in the water, and basically like that's what makes the water light up. But they haven't got like a nervous system or a brain or a heart or anything, so you're not damaging that. Killing that. It's literally just like microorganisms in the water, and when you swish it about, Sean, fuck off.
No, I love you.
Sorry, excuse me. I think that's my first course. When you swish the water about, it just lights up and it's all beautiful and it's all lovely. Now,
well, you got shit videos, by the way, so whoever was recording.
So what happened was we were on the strand and it's all lit up there. So we went at about 11 or 12 last night, so it was still fairly, like, the sky was a little bit blue.
And was the water coming in like that colour?
No, it wasn't. The waves weren't coming in. It was all outside as well. But the only places that was lighting up, it wasn't actually in the water, it was in the puddles.
That was my man bleaching the whole of the fucking beach with that duck, the blue one.
Oh, we were laughing because I was like, I bet you, and it's actually coming over from the incinerator, and this is all just toxic waste. And
you're there with your Doc Martin toes hanging out.
I wouldn't mind. I'd like fucking Mr. Burns because I'm full of radiation. I said, I'm going to be in the water lighting the gaff up. Like.
But it was like you were embracing that inner child. You were just having the crack.
Oh, you'd want to see it. Yeah. Like, and then I wouldn't mind.
There'd be somebody there tonight
girls
charging people to get onto that beach. Oh, no,
there was two girls sitting on a bench when we had walked by, right? And out of nowhere, a girl goes, oh my God, it's working. And we turned around. She was like, that was why we came down to see if it worked, but we were too shy to go down. I said, I'll be the spanner.
I'll be the stomper.
Yeah, of course I'd be the child to go down and try it, but it did work. But yeah, I thought it was really cute. We had loads of fun.
Fuck off, will you?
Well, yeah, if you want to go, if anybody's listening to this.
Shut up, will
you? What are you barking at me?
That's going to be gone.
I don't know if it will. But anyway.
That could be Sean's first meetup.
Ah, there you go. Ah.
No, very busy, very tired.
So what I was going to say was, because you're obviously so against the beach.
I'm not against the beach.
Marcus does.
I'm against cold water.
Marcus does the hikes with John Boland. These are geared towards men.
No, well, he does. There is men only hikes.
But that's the ones I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, the men only hikes was fantastic. And I don't know where I was for the last one, but it was a really, really good one because they asked questions. So you had to walk with someone that you didn't know.
Yeah.
And the question was, you had to assume something about someone beside you. Oh. And you had 5 goals. So, you know, I assume you work out because you look muscly.
Right.
And then the other person had to come back.
Someone
said
that to you, Marcus?
No, I didn't make the hike.
Oh, okay.
I didn't make the hike. So, yeah. They brought a cardboard cut out.
Oh, Marcus.
But they said, you know, and then man would say, no, actually don't. I'm just, whatever. Or I assume you're married. And it was just to say one thing about assumptions is don't make them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Don't make them. But you're getting to know someone. And it was a really interesting concept that they done. But the hikes, he does a hike on a Wednesday evening and, you know, people just show up and off they go. And they keep growing and growing and growing. Every time I see the pictures, obviously it's like the sea swimming and the dipping. It's the summer. But he does it all year round.
Yeah.
And John, I think, is going to, he's going to some country in a couple of weeks,
right,
to climb another peak.
Fantastic.
So he's doing his training there.
He never stops the man.
No, non-stop.
That event that you put on down at the beach was fantastic. The one where Will Arr came down and the other comedians came down.
Oh, for the suicide charity. Yeah. No, he's big on that. And the suicide awareness. We did the recovery hike there a couple of weeks ago, but for the suicide awareness and that, like, it's just about that word awareness.
Yeah.
You're trying to support. These agencies need funding. They need people to talk about it, mm-hmm. because it is that type of conversation that people don't like to have.
Yeah.
You know, so talking about this today will hopefully make people go, I might try it.
Yeah.
I might need it. I need some answers, and it's time, because my Carly is not getting any sense across, you know, because everyone has their best friend that mm-hmm. they just vent to. And it's the same thing. They just need to vent. And you could be saying all the sense, and they're like, I'm not even listening to you.
Yeah.
All I'm here.
Oh, no. Carly listens. Don't worry. That pen and paper comes out.
Well, you're lucky.
I'm very lucky. People that don't. I'm very lucky. So, I have a few of them in my life. And I love it. And I just, like, with you, and obviously speaking now, because I was choking on the inside, I was like, oh my God, where do I start? It's like a little quote I heard last night. It was like, don't hold on to something for too long or you'll choke, basically.
Yeah.
And that's the first step. Do you know, like, if you're feeling like that, go talk to someone first, pan it out, and then go with your bullet points to the next person, and then let them do the work on you.
You're a perfect example of having all of the best advice but taking none of your own. And I'm not saying
no,
that
155 million percent. And I'd be very good at giving the advice to someone as well. But I also need to take me on. Marcus, when you're free, baby.
That's why I think I personally, and again, I'm not undermining you, but I don't think you'd do very well with a conventional therapist.
No.
Imagine him walking into a room and some stiff person sitting there with a clipboard, like he'd have a panic attack on the dot, or else you'd go.
No, but then again, like you were saying, five assumptions. I'd be assuming things as I'm sitting there, my ADHD would be going 90, I'd be like, oh, he's not for me.
Yeah.
Whereas sitting there with Marcus, I'd be like, oh, perfect. I feel like I'd absolutely be okay.
I think you need to have some sort of connection with a person.
I need to have it already beforehand.
This is what I mean. Before you go anywhere, you need to feel comfortable with somebody. But that again is down to what you were saying about choosing a therapist earlier mm-hmm. on. Sorry, and we ended up popping off the subject. I think finding a therapist, and I am literally allergic to dating. I've never tried dating before. I've never dated a person that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never done that before, and I don't think I ever could. It frightens the life out of me, but it doesn't scare me more than finding a therapist.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
that's fair.
I've been in therapy since I'm 16, and it was so daunting going and trying to find somebody that fit. But it's the most wordy thing as well, because when you do find that person, your life is going to change. I found me current counsellor through a friend of mine. She went to her, so I didn't know it was so funny when I first went into her. She's qualified and everything, but she's mostly a sex therapist and a relationship therapist. I wasn't there for that. So when I went in, my friend originally went to her because she went through a really, really, really bad breakup, and that was why she chose her. But she said, no, I think she does general counselling as well. I walked in and she was like, right, so talk to me. Like, what was the relationship? Is it geared around sex? Are you struggling with sex? And I was like, girl, hang on a minute. Pull the brakes up. I was like, I'm not here for any of that. I'm just here for general counselling. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. They're just kind of like the fields that I specialise in, but I also do general counselling.
Love how she jumped straight into that bit of sex.
I was like, do I look like I... No, do you know what I mean? I was like, oh God. But it turns out, Marcus, and especially this was around the time that I started going to yoga on the beach. I started kind of getting into Reiki and stuff, that she does all of... She's a...
Holistic
healer, if you will. And she does like plant medicine. She's just very that.
Mm-mm.
And I was like, oh my God, how did I bump into you at this time in my life? Because I didn't know that about her. I just thought she was a counsellor. Turns out she does Reiki, Peloit. She's absolutely amazing. And I just had a strong click with her. And she keeps trying to finish with me. She has decided that, because she said to me from day one, she was like, you do realise you're sitting on that couch and counselling yourself, I'm just listening to you. And I was like, no girl, but listen. And obviously she said to me, I'm with her a year now, and she was like, I've seen you grow so much mm-hmm. and like you're asking a question but then answering it yourself, but I've seen your answers change so much from the last year.
You have so many different questions that you ask and answer.
I'm very
like, even sitting here, I'm like, love it so much. I was like, my brain's just like, butterflies and rainbows. She's there going at him. I'm like, brilliant. I'm like, hell.
Yeah, no, I'm very curious then, very inquisitive. And then again, I almost get embarrassed asking a question. So I'll ask the question that I really want to ask, and then my subconscious mind jumps in to answer it so I don't come across stupid. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, you're testing yourself in regards to when you think you're done. I think you always know when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes it can be you don't want to leave the person. You can't let, you feel you might be haunting that person by saying, I'm not coming back to you anymore. And you try to people please a little
bit. It's not me saying I'm not coming back. It's her trying to get rid of me.
But that's what I'm saying. But why? She's not trying to get rid of you. She just wants you to go and
she's ready for you.
Take your tools,
baby.
Yeah. Take your tools and off you go. And if you need me again, I'm here.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it, because it's just, you're just grown attached and you feel so good around it.
Yeah.
And yeah, you do end up answering your own questions. So it's like, right, go on.
You
come out
like,
on
girl.
The biggest high ever after therapy. Whereas you used to be like, oh, I don't want to come in.
Yeah.
And like, you know quite well when you're answering the same question, like when you're asking a question and answering it, you know you're right.
Yeah.
But like, you just want her to butter you up that bit more. You're like, perfect.
Do you know what the gas part is about Joe? She's more of a listener. Mm-hmm. It's no, she doesn't interject and she doesn't be like, well, I think this, this, this. It's lovely going into her, and I go to her now once a month. Because I think it's very important to still go to therapy even when you're happy. And I have been happy. Like, I've been doing really, really well. And I just find it lovely to go in. And what I find with Joe is, no matter what, there's things that I'll say to Joe that I won't say to anybody else. And I always say I'm an open book all the time. I'm very honest. I would never hold that back. No matter what you say, there are certain things that you're not going to tell your friends or your family. Because subconsciously you don't want them to judge it. Yeah. So I'm going into Joe.
You know already that I'm going to say something. You're like, you're smart little fuck you. Yeah.
Not even that. It's like I found with counselling, I'm not going to you because I want you to like me. No. It doesn't matter if you like me or not. And I think that an awful lot of people aren't very honest with their counsellors as well, because they want their counsellor to like them. They're not there to like you. They're not there to be your best friend. And that was one thing that really helped me, mm-hmm. was going in and knowing, right, I'm not going to butter you up, and I don't have to try and get you to see me in a certain light.
Yeah, and there's a huge difference between listening and hearing.
Yeah.
So you could be listening to someone, but you're not actually hearing what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You're not hearing their tone of voice. You're not seeing, like, hearing how they're sitting in the chair. So what they're actually saying to you could be one thing, but you know you're hearing something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the whole, how are you feeling? I'm fine. You say, no, fine's not a good word. Yeah. Yeah. And people always do that, you know. Yeah. Or, I'm good, I'm great, I'm fantastic, I'm okay. Okay is a bit, Sometimes you're just okay.
But what I find when people are like, I'm fine, it's like, I'm telling you, but I'm just letting you also know that it's not the main West. You know what I mean?
Ask me again.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe just push me down a little bit. Yeah. That was like him. Now, Carly, I'm fine. Sean.
Right, now we're nearly at the end of the podcast. Stop bringing it all back up. Fuck this shit.
I'm sorry. But I would love, now, again, you can tell me to shovel up me, which you most likely will.
I won't, because we're being very calm and collective today, because we need a sponsor. I'm only joking.
Have you noticed me stop cursing this week? But I would love for you to go along with Marcus to...
If you'd have me, Marcus.
To probably one of the hikes. Or
oh, I thought you meant session. A hike?
A hike?
Don't tell me what to do with me ankle.
We'll put your little boot on you and you can go on a hike. No, but... Or even just...
You want me to talk to strangers?
Yes.
Mummy, 5 assumptions. We have I'll have 55. Let me tell you something.
Sean, like, I think you have money.
I know, literally. But
setting yourself little goals. If you set yourself little goals, like I've set myself goals for the next 6 to 12 months. So yeah. It's these little things, but they could be big things as well. So I think putting it out there.
It's your goal. And it's what you want to do.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So now we're going to put your goal out in the air. And we're going to name it.
It's to get up out of Dublin. Mm. Bye-bye, everyone. No, I'm only joking. But no, yeah, when is the next hike now?
Well, there's plenty in the summer. We'll have a look and we'll get you on one, yeah.
So, lads, we do have a few general questions about therapy. And we're going to read them to you right now. So I think I'm really intrigued about this, Marcus, and I'd love to get your point of view on this. One is, I want to know what my girlfriend is saying about me in therapy. My girlfriend has been seeing this new therapist and she also keeps a journal. I know they've been discussing me. She'll kind of drop it into conversation like, oh, I was talking about this row we had and so on. But she won't tell me what they discuss around that. And I'm so curious. I think I have a right to know what she's saying about me. But she strongly disagrees. It's really bothering me though. What is your view on people wanting to know what goes on in someone's personal therapy session?
Well, of course, it's that fear, isn't it? What's been said? Or what are they saying about me? And, you know, are we getting my point across? No, I'm not, because it's all them.
Yeah.
But the whole... beauty of therapy is, the goal of therapy is to be able to open up, have these conversations at home. So whatever you say in therapy can be said to your partner. That can be your safe space, that they will be there to support you. And sometimes, sadly, they aren't.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And that's the fear that the other person feels, that they can't speak. But my long-term goal would be to encourage the younger generation to be able to have these conversations, and uncomfortable conversations. They're not nice. Nobody likes doing it, but it gets it out there in the open, and at least you know, I think it's that awareness. Once you know what someone's triggers are, once you know what someone's sort of bad points are that will get a reaction, it allow you to tread a little bit differently. You know, mm-hmm. a diabetic, people that's gluten intolerant, they go to restaurants and they don't order stuff with gluten in it, because they know
But they, right, so you do, yeah. I was gonna, I was gonna bring that up. I was gonna bring that up.
So
you got your food intolerance test, and you know, everything. You know what's good and bad. But yeah. You have a choice that if you have that bad thing, the reaction that's gonna give you, and you have that choice, well, I'm gonna do it. But once you become, right, I can't have this. It's like alcohol. Some people don't have a drink problem, but they don't like the reaction alcohol has with them, and they decide, no, I can't. So again, it's like behaviours. It's like something that you need to be able to discuss. And, you know, I want to know what my girlfriend is saying. I encourage everybody to go to therapy, even couples therapy at the start.
Yeah.
Just to say, well, look, this is where you're at and this is where you're at. And can the two of you meet in the middle? I had a conversation with one of my colleagues the other day. And like, relationships is two big circles. You're one circle. Yeah. Your partner's the other circle. You just interlock, and it's that tiny bit in the middle that you just have to meet. Just meet there. Just agree to disagree, but just say, okay, I don't like Chinese, but I'll do it because you do. I don't. And it's little things or it's big things, but it's just meeting in that middle. So yes, once there's a journal or once there's a therapy session or once there's a diary, whatever it may be, of course you're going to wonder what is in it. But if the relationship is probably in the healthy state, you should know. You should determine what goes into that.
Yeah.
And it should be good.
You shouldn't be kind of fretting about what's going on. Really,
no, because at the end of the day, people are going to therapy to become better versions of themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I may have gone to therapy to become a better person for my partner. After three sessions, I was like, no, I don't need to be a better person for that person. I need to be a better person for me. And in turn, that will make people around me better people.
Yeah.
And that's just where I'm at with that. But of course, when people say, I wonder what they're saying. It's like when you're on the phone to your friend, what the hell are you talking about for two hours? Now, are you giving out? Or men have an ego. They have an ego and they worry.
They worry
about whatever. And it's those conversations, sadly, that aren't being had. And that could be down to sexuality. It could be down to numerous things. But the first thing they think of, oh, no, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
And hopefully if they come to therapy and they're open, you have to be open, that they're open for change, you know, they might tiptoe into those conversations.
Marcus, see, I have many clients, right, and like, this is a question I'd be curious of, that would have partners or family members that would kind of discourage them from counselling or kind of try and belittle the idea of counselling.
Well, obviously I can't disclose any of the clients.
I
think it's the Irish thing of shame and guilt.
Would you find that would be put on a few of your clients, or have you had even experiences with anybody where people around them have kind of said, oh, well, that counselling, you don't need that?
Well, I can speak for maybe the guys I went to college with, because I'd be lucky enough to go to college with a lot of really good therapists now, and I can recommend, you know, they're gone into their own fields. Mm-hmm. But conversations that we would have had in, you know, communal areas, everyone's afraid of the secrets. Everyone's afraid of, you know, stuff has always been, oh, don't say that out in the street. What goes on in this house stays in this house. And that's the neighbourhood, the Irish neighbourhood as a whole. And some of the research that I've done for my different assignments has covered that. So the thoughts of saying anything out about your mom or anything out about your family, about anything, of course the parents are going to go, what the hell are you doing? And when you come back different, when you come back in a different way and saying, I'm not going to be the way I was brought up. So
move
swiftly onto my journal that I designed. But again...
Oh.
I'll tell you
I'm so excited to hear about it.
But it's like, you know, once we understand that what we've seen growing up till whatever age molds us into who we are, that's life. You know, the big people around us in our life, how they behave, what they do, be it angry, loving, alcohol, whatever it may be, we just see that as normal.
Yeah.
And we get beliefs and values from that. But your beliefs and values change. You know, and nobody is born homophobic, and nobody's born racist. It's what they see going around them that determines them. And when we find, I don't agree with the way that language is going, that's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary, but you just sort of say, my values and beliefs are different to my family's.
I think that intimidates an awful lot of people as well.
Yeah, and that's changed that families don't want to have sometimes, you know, and that's a scary part, that if you can get involved. And listen, some success stories where they've come back and said, my family have brought me down. We have family meetings now and we all discuss, and we all have like an hour a week where we can vent and basically lay everything on the table. Yeah. And it's forgotten about, but at least we're speaking how we feel, and they walk away to carry on about their lives. But what they're doing is they're just planting seeds and say, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. And, you know, it could be something small. Mm-hmm. hate gravy, ma.
But you were talking about like how things changed even when you like opened up more with your ma about how you were feeling and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that was a big part of, and it just grows your relationship stronger. 110%.
I was only thinking that when he was saying, like, I'm just so happy that like me and my brother are kind of in this generation and out of the generation that like they're just like, ah, you'd be grand. But I'm like, no, let me tell you where I'm at to help you understand the better, because I know that you're just confuffled all up there.
A year ago, you'd have never said that.
No,
I
know. But like, love it. Like, and I love that they sit there and listen to me from that aspect of my point of view. And I bring them on a journey and she's like, yeah, 110%. I absolutely believe what you're saying.
Love it.
And I was like, do you know what I mean? But like, whereas it's just like, I'd be grand. I was like, no, let me tell you how I feel. Don't keep saying you'd be grand. Do you know what I mean? But now we're at this. Like, even like when I was like, no, man, I think my ball is blue. I was like, I don't know what happened. I should go to A&E. All these little things. I can tell her every single thing. Every single thing. And I love her so much that I have the relationship with her that I have. My dad, love him, idolise him. Now he's just a little old man, now he's out there, but he idolised the ground I walk on. But he, again, he's just stuck in that generation.
But it took a lot for you to get there with even Paddy, and I feel like you were so much closer.
And you know what he done for me? As soon as little man came out the back. So when I came in, I only came in the door and I was like, no. I said, uh-uh. And I was like, what do you want? And he was like, I was like, no, what do you want? I was like, what do you need help with out there? I don't need help. He's like, you and that beautiful girl that you have on your little poster upstairs. It's Alison got me a photo when we went to, what is that thing called over in London? The big festival thing. What's it called?
Printworks. Oh, I'm very bad. Oh, right.
Printworks. But I'm on her shoulders and she printed it out for me birthday, but it's on my locker. And because he's doing the man cave up, and he's like, I just want to put that up there so I'll always have a face to look at you. And he's like, also, if you're free, can we get a little photo and I get something printed out of us? And I was like, yeah,
that's a moment. Do you know what I mean? They're the moments. And that took him so long to get to there as well.
This is why I'm here and this is why I just love you so much.
Because that came from your conversation though.
What?
That came from your conversation.
Yeah.
And
but little things. Yeah. Like, we normally, I'm just like, all right, Paddy, what's the story? But I'm like, no, make sure I hug and kiss you every single day now. The way it would be, man. Just little things like that. Because I idolise where he walks on. But I also know his brain doesn't work the way we work. So you have to kind of put yourself in his shoes.
By you being the way you were, you have opened him up so much emotionally every way.
Even when he was listening to that podcast from last year, he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. That's how I made you feel. And I was like, yeah, but you didn't realise that you were doing it. Do you know what I mean?
The fact that he even sat down and listened to absolutely. It because
so proud, so proud.
He stood outside with his little pint watching. It's just our photo. And it just literally, like, that's what I heard. And that's it. And he just stood outside and I just seen him when he came in and he was just inconsolable. And he was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, don't be sorry. I was like, this is the whole thing from being brought up. He was like, just taught this thing. I was like, however, I just have a better understanding and this is how I felt. So I'm so happy that you got to listen to it.
And all a parent wants to do is guide and mind their child. You know what I mean? So even when that post went out, he's probably going, I wish I knew more. I wish I could have done more. Did I do enough? Poor fellas up there. Because it all comes back to they let you down.
Always.
They let you down. And you know, we're trying our best here. Maybe I need to. Because when you put it public, that's when people think, shit.
Oh, 100%.
Maybe I should watch what I'm posting. Clearly not everyone. Yeah. But maybe I will think about maybe not saying that about someone.
Yeah.
That's all we're trying to do, but it's educating because it's the next generation, it's the generation now. Yeah. It's going to take years and years and years.
I think it's so funny though, and I'm actually guilty of this as well. When we speak about like mental health or even men's mental health, the conversation that we're having now, I automatically zoom in on like our age brackets and it's a younger thing. But the way that you're after saying about Paddy, like that's Paddy opening up and him talking about how you made him, he faced that an awful lot of his actions would have rolled into your life and
I never knew until I was like, oh God, this is the starting point, because when we broke it down, I was like, yeah, absolutely. But I was like, I can't give out to him for that because I only realise it now, so I can't hold on to the grudge for all them years. I can just say, this is how I feel. So I'm just happy that like I had the family that it's like, where are you at? And I'm like, I'm at about 51 today. I'm supposed to be at 100. My man's like, let's help you get to 100. So we leave it on a good note when we're going to bed. This is where we're at.
That's team.
And I love it.
That's what you need.
This is what like relationships should be at as well. It's like you come in from work and it's like, I'm at 40. And it's like, well, I'm at 60. So I'm better than that. So let's see. Let me help you. Let's finish on a great note. So I think people are listening should probably do that instead of just being like, oh, go fuck yourself, go to sleep. Because you're never guaranteed tomorrow, ever. And Charlotte Bourne is a little bastard for her story for the course, but that's an okay one. She's like, I don't care if I'm having a fight and I don't care if it's a tip. Give me a kiss on the lips and say goodnight to me now. And Alison's the same. My mom's the same. We're always the same. Just always give them a kiss and a hug goodnight because you're never guaranteed tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you can deal with that shit then the next day.
I find that what you've just said, you've implemented into your life so much recently, because before, if I'd be having a bit of a wobbler, and it can be very difficult when I'm in bad form, and I know that. And you used to be like, oh, fuck off, Carly, I'm not dealing with you. And he used to kind of go always. Splats. And I'd be like, oh my God, you're making me worse.
Yeah.
Now he'll assess the situation with me and go, do you know, Ani, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to leave you, do your own thing. I'll talk to you in a while. And then I'll get a message the next day and he'll be like, yeah, all right, baby, how are you feeling today?
No, because normally I'd be like, shut the fuck up, can't.
But I don't think you understand how grateful I am for that. Like, the past 2 weeks, like I said, I couldn't get in for the podcast and I was, and again, I'll be...
And I'm sitting there like
but
that.
I'd be so honest with you. I was like, he's going to run amok on me and I'm not able for it. And both times he wrote back and he was like, look, Carly, I know you're not going to give 100% today because you're not feeling good. There's no point in going in. I understand. I'll see you in a couple of days. I hope you're all right. And again, you surprise me all the time because that was my fault for assuming.
That's your assumption that, on me. Yeah, that you're one of five fault. And it was wrong.
But look how much you have grown. Because the assumption in my, because we know each other for so long, was there for a reason. No, it wasn't so actually long. Something
I
like,
that. So long.
Because it was a pattern that I was used to. Me and you used to go for each other's necks. Yeah. Whereas now, you're like, oh, do you know what? I'm actually not going to lift her over because I know what it's like to feel that way. And I'm going to have a bit of patience with her. And I leave her when I see her the next time. And I want to say thank you for that because that just makes... a lot easier for me.
I'll end up crying my eyes out.
Please help.
No, I will. Oh, fuck off, will you?
But it just means a lot for me because you've grown so much as a person and it makes our friendship so much easier.
And so much easier.
Well, not myself here, guys. It's like long lost families.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know we just keep
going. I love it. No, I love
it. Let me tell you something and I'm like, oh, Marcus in the room.
No, but I think that's lovely. And again, it's very nice to know that you make us this comfortable to have this conversation between each other because if that was another person sitting there, it probably wouldn't come out this way.
Yeah.
And you have this presence and this aura around it. Like I said, I only knew you from social media.
And I've only met you twice.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. So to have that with someone and the comfort and to be so vulnerable with someone and then walk out on a high, this is why you're at where you're at, baby. Yeah, trust the process.
Your energy is gorgeous. And I only, again, knew you from social media. And then when I met you in person, you blew me away. I wasn't expecting to get what I got from you. And I was like, now I know. Because everybody you meet, Sean, will tell you, oh, I know Marcus Kelser. Oh, I know him from this. I know him from that. Everybody knows you. And it's kind of like I often say about people, if everybody likes the one person, there has to be about 17 different versions of them.
Yeah.
I don't believe that about you. I believe that you're just, every setting I've seen you in, you've been you. I've not seen you change. Obviously, we all do it though. When we're all in front of the
Listen, it's taken years. It's taken years of shadows and personas and it's taken years of who do I feel I have to be and who am I around these people and to be true to yourself. And as I said, you know, to hear that story, that touched me about your dad because it was like, wow, that age, he's ready to change, you know. Yeah. And I was older when I decided and there's still people that come in, like when you're told something for 50 odd years and that's all you know and then you suddenly decide at 55, listen, it can be different. They're like, no. How scary is that?
Yeah.
So again, at 20, 25.
You want me to change after me being stuck like this for 50 years? Yeah. You want me to suddenly be able to try use me brain to change? This is all I know. Do you know what I mean?
But having that support, he doesn't need a therapist. He just needs a loving son. He has a wife there.
Like literally just a little hug and a kiss and his whole day is bright and love. I like that. Just breaks my heart because I love him so much and I know he tries so hard to give out to it. Like to give it out to the world that what he wants to say but his brain won't let him.
Because he wasn't trained. No, he's not. He's just like
moneymaker, come home, do that, make everyone happy and then he's just gone out the back. Now he is a little cranky bastard. If you are listening, I know you are. And my ma will absolutely put a hand up for this, but I love every single one of them so much.
And he loves the ground you walk on.
Yeah.
He idolises you, and I can tell you that for nothing. He idolises you. Ah, he does. And it's so lovely to see you're blessed with the family dynamic you have in your home. You really, really are. And it shines through you. And I feel like, again, as you're learning and growing, they're learning and growing with you. And that's so important.
Yeah. And I just love how much they know me. Like, even when I came out with a little dark spot, I was like, there you are. Only took you a few months. I said, I'm back, baby.
We need backing music at that.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, lovely.
Marcus, you were talking about the way you have goals set for, like, say, the next 6 months or the next 12 months. And a goal that you were telling us about was releasing your journal. Can I know more about that, please?
Yeah, so it was something that I've been working on. It wasn't 7 weeks. It was more 4 to 6, 7 months.
Yeah.
Something that I was tipping away with. It's I've titled it What Was, What Is and What Now. So I used to do a men's hair because what I used to always finish with the lads was the question, what now? So whatever your problem is, right, what now? Well, how are you going to go about it? So how the idea came, it was from my years in therapy and all my different sessions, what I've learned in college. And it's just living chapters. I feel, as I said earlier on, people tend to throw their feet into everything straight away.
Yeah.
Whereas this has a month for every sort of area. So like the first one will be self-awareness. The second one will be your fit life. The third one might be beliefs and values. The fourth one might be communication. And you get to work on things. There's journal prompts that you can look at yourself, look at the beliefs that you had or how you were before, where you are now, and where you hope to be in the future. There's word prompts, there's breath work, there's a lot in it. And I was passionate about it. But the last chapter is what now? So you've taken everything from the last 11 months and you sort of put it together and you're making notes of what worked for you. And then you say, right, what am I going to bring into the next year? And then you can buy a new journal and then you can, but you can start again because it takes you from where you are right now. And yeah. That's all we can do. Right now, we can only take ourselves from where we are, but where we want to take ourselves tomorrow, that's our choice. That's all we can do. We can't change the past. No. We can't really. We've all had shit past. We've all done shit things. Yeah. But are we going to beat ourselves up about it? Stuff has happened to us, but now going forward, stuff has to happen for us. And sitting down and addressing these and becoming aware and saying, you know what, I'm not letting that stop me from living anymore. I'm not letting that behaviour take me anymore. It's time for me to move on. So that's going to be hopefully released maybe July.
I've never heard of a layout like that in a journal. Like, again, gratitude journals is all the usual carry on. And it's nice to kind of see the prompts that'll make you go inward. And
yeah, and it's personal. Yeah. You know, like I have a to-do list, but I also have the I don't want to-do list because we all have them.
It's like a pro and con.
So, yeah, that's just my tuttons word.
Think I found a therapist, guys.
Can I fleece the layout of your journal and finish this up with what now for you?
Oh, very good, Jim.
Oh.
Yes, very good. I was still thinking about butterflies and rainbows, but go on.
Well, I found, I'm lucky enough to find a unit, so I'm just waiting for that to be ready, and I'm going to set up private practice in about 2 or 3 weeks, please God, so my books will be open. The plan is to get into sports teams and getting doing talks about mindset resilience.
Brilliant.
I would like to work with someone and do maybe a relationship journal where couples can work together and basically, you know, use it together get me journal out there and get some feedback from it.
Yeah.
Get some positive results and just keep enjoying life.
Amazing. Marcus, would you recommend people follow you on your social media to figure out where to go to get your services and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, you can email thisisustherapy@gmail.com.
Brilliant.
And I can direct.
Watch your social media handles as well, just so people can...
So I literally just set up the page. Marco161 is my personal one.
Brilliant.
This_is_us.
Oh, lovely. You
know, sorry. That's all I had left. Sorry.
Original. We'll have it up anyway.
Yeah,
on the page.
Yeah, there's no panic yet.
And then website to follow, etc.
Amazing. Oh,
thanks
my
so
God.
Much.
Thank you, guys. And it's so great. Listen, you're doing a great job. And it's nice to see that, you know.
Two lunatics.
Yeah.
Of a podcast.
But there is quietness. And I'm actually well impressed. But anyway, but hopefully this will allow people to go, do you know what? That helped a lot. And, you know, because these are entertaining so many people, it's even better that you're helping them.
Like you said, if you help one person, that's your job done.
Come here, if this episode didn't help anybody else, help me. I feel great.
Yeah, well, thanks so much to both of you for just keep bringing back up my past. Anywho, love you.
Can't change the past. Control the controllables.
Yeah, thanks everyone and goodbye.
Bye. Love yous. Adios.
Love you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.